Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Now, you probably remember seeing the haunting tape last summer of a woman being ignored by Kings County Hospital staff after she collapsed on the emergency room floor, where she then died. This incident prompted an investigation of this Brooklyn Public Hospital, of course, and yesterday the U.S. Department of Justice released its 58-page report outlining pretty shocking abuse. The allegations include regular incidents of sexual assault and violence between patients and staff, inadequate treatment, and general incompetence, also indifference among hospital staff. WNYC's Fred Mogul, our health reporter, has been reporting on this story, and he joins me now in our studio. Hi, Fred.
Good morning, Brian.
Tell me what the investigators found. Everybody remembers that videotape.
Right. Well, let me correct something, though.
Sure.
That investigation was well underway. That video was released as part of the ongoing investigation.
Okay.
It's already had been going on for about 6 months and was concluded last month.
Fair
in
enough.
January. And so they kind of released that to light a fire, frankly, under the feet of HHC, the people who would – I can't speak for the Justice Department investigators who haven't spoken, but the people who launched the lawsuit, the New York Civil Liberties Union and the state's Mental Hygiene Legal Protection Services, they tell me that there was a lot of foot dragging and that many of their complaints, you know, were going unheeded. And it wasn't until that videotape that they really started to get some reforms going. Now, mind you,
so they were smart enough to, in this era, you don't just give out a press release in print because everybody will go, yeah, abuse at a public hospital. You put a video on YouTube and then you light a fire under the media.
Right. And to be fair, actually, I should back up a little bit. The hospital, by most indications, did cooperate with federal investigators. They did hand over that videotape, and they did hand over scores of their own incident reports, which brings us to the next point, which is what this report comes up with, is that even after that videotape is released, months later, there still are lots of problems in the hospital, everything from patients attacking one another, allegedly sexually assaulting each other. There's problems in just about every aspect of the way that hospital, one of the largest public hospitals in the country. We were just talking about the psych ward, but almost every aspect, infection control, food handling, paperwork management, all of which are incredibly significant to managing a hospital of this size.
Now, these allegations by the Justice Department are based partially on the hospital's own incident reports, I gather, and the American Civil Liberties Union, as you said, and the state's Mental Hygiene Legal Service, which brought the lawsuit against the hospital, are still receiving weekly reports of, if I'm reading this right, these kinds of dangerous incidents still ongoing?
Right, still ongoing, yes. And again, these are the hospital's own incident reports. Every Friday, the NYCLU and the state mental hygiene people get these reports from the hospital. Again, to their credit, they are sharing them with the people who are suing them effectively.
But if the hospital is already cooperating, why is it so hard to enforce just basic standards of human decency among the staff?
Well, it's the obvious question. The HHC claims they are making progress. They've added a vast number of staff, 200 employees. Not clear whether that's full-time equivalents, but a lot of staff, a lot of space. They've just yesterday rolled out with much fanfare their $153 million, 300,000 square foot new glistening psych ward, you know, a pavilion. The other one is a real ramshackle.
And the woman who died, who was in the original video, she was a psych admission, right?
Yes, she was. Her name was Esmeen Green. She was a 49-year-old immigrant, Jamaican immigrant. And she had previously checked herself in. This time she was brought in by police. But she was in the emergency room waiting area, and that's where she was captured on videotape for almost 24 hours, 1 hour of which she was lying on her face.
So you have a clip of attorney Robert Cohen of the firm Kirkland & Ellis, who's working with the Civil Liberties Union, talking here about – no, we don't have it? Okay. All right. We're going to get Robert Cohen in just a minute. All right. Now
right,
we have
talking.
Do you want to set it up?
Well, no. I just gonna say the point he's making is what you're asking, which is that they had launched a number of reforms, and some of them have been showing some progress. But he still wonders, basically, you know, kind of where's the beef?
A number of the changes that they have detailed have been in place for several months, and what's really required is a fundamental change in the culture of the institution.
What does he mean by culture of the institution?
Well, it means you replace the top leadership, which they did partly then and on an ongoing basis. You add staff, but you have to make those staff, old and new staff, come around. They've added training. They've downplayed the uniformed police personnel. They've added peer counselors. So there's a lot going on, and yet getting this all to really take root, it's a bit like turning a ship, a big ship in the ocean. It does take time, but that doesn't mean that it kind of excuses it. And I don't think the hospital themselves say it doesn't excuse it, but they do say that it's going to take them more time.
So overhauling what seems to be a systemic problem with the culture of a hospital is likely to take years and a lot of additional oversight. What are the next steps?
Well, they're going to, this report, which is an abbreviated version of a full report, they sit down with that, with the plaintiff's attorneys, the civil rights attorneys, and with the hospital, and they work out a settlement that involves some kind of benchmarks that they set, some kind of monitoring, perhaps independent outside people being there on an ongoing basis.
You talked about the publicity that they wanted to get around the psych ward. I mean, the timing of this kind of boggles my mind because they actually just had the ribbon-cutting ceremony yesterday for this brand new $153 million psych ward at Kings County Hospital on the same day as this report documenting the ongoing horrors was being released.
Well, it was released last week to the hospital department, and it's a public document. It would go live 10 days later. So the hospital system, which has been preparing this unveiling for quite some time, and it's a $153 million project, as I said, and this is a huge overhaul of the even larger complex around it. So this has been coming for a long time, but you do have to wonder, they knew that the report would be public 10 days after they got it. So it seemed like a good time to have that ribbon cutting. And by the way, there's also this Justice Department report. Why don't you take a look?
Well, it seems very cynical when you describe it that way and when you just look at the timing. Is this a systemic problem? Because I think it's one thing to say, here is a very troubled institution in these regards, patient abuse by other patients and by staff, and to say, this goes on at the New York City public hospitals citywide, or this goes on in hospitals in general, public and private. Is this just a Kings County bad apple story, or is this hospital world?
I mean, it's really tough to know. I mean, it's amazing to think about some of these things going on as the investigation is already taking place, right? They know they're being watched. This videotape has been out there. They've got investigators and plaintiff's attorneys suing them, and yet it still goes on. It kind of makes you wonder what's going on elsewhere that isn't being subject to the scrutiny, again, publicly and privately.
Stephanie in Brooklyn says she has a company that deals with violence in the workplace. Stephanie, are you there?
I am here. How are you?
Good. Thanks for calling. What do you do?
I'm the director of a company named Active Nonviolence Group.
And?
We are based in Brooklyn, and we actually did a training at the Kings County Hospital in the psychiatric ward.
Oh, in the psych ward. Uh-huh.
Yes. And the staff is very, very happy to have people come over and really talk about the daily problems that they have regarding, verbal abuse or physical abuse.
Can you give me an example of something that you heard from them and why it is hard to stamp it out?
Stand it out as in...
Why is it hard? Give me an example of something they told you and why it's hard to end it.
Well, it's hard because this is a situation where the staff has to deal with the patient on a daily basis. If something violent happens, they're facing each other the next day and the next day and the next day after that. So the reason why we do these trainings is we want to stop the violence. We're saying there's so many other options than violence. There's many ways to de-escalate situations.
So you're saying some of this is staff response to violent behavior by patients in the psych ward. Is that what you just said?
Can you repeat that?
Staff response to violent behavior by the patients?
Yes.
So it goes both ways, but if somebody's a patient in a psych ward, Fred, the staff is supposed to be able to deal with that in a professional way.
Well, they are. I mean, this is a very tough job. A psychiatric ward. It's an inpatient facility. These are some very severely mentally ill people, and many of them are violent, and many of them have little or no support, you know, of family outside, and some of them are homeless. So, I mean, this is a fairly extreme situation. But yes, of course, this staff is supposed to be trained, and they are in the process of being retrained.
From our webpage, somebody writes, "Let me point out the obvious. Poor black people get poor service because those serving them do not consider them worthy of decent care." Do you think race has to do with this?
Well, I think there's some basic economic angles here, and many of the people in that immediate area and many of the people who end up in severe psychiatric facilities certainly are at the lower end of the economic ladder. Many of the people, frankly, who work there are African American themselves. So you have to be careful about how and what you ascribe to racism. I think probably a pretty high proportion of the staff is of the same race as the patients.
Right. And the reality is also that these psych wards are often the last resort for patients who may not have health insurance or the means to go elsewhere. They wind up in a public hospital psychiatric ward. So there certainly is a socioeconomic status to the people who are tending to be the victims of the abuse here. But before you go, you know, these days in education, if you have a school that's poorly performing and they try to fix it and it poorly performs again and they try to fix it and it poorly performs again, they close down the school. Is there such a thing as, is there any consideration of closing down Kings County Hospital and reinventing it somewhere else?
Well, first of all, again, just to repeat, this is the psychiatric ward. Kings County Hospital is a huge complex,
and one of the largest in the country, provides many, many excellent services to many people throughout the borough of Brooklyn. Right.
Right.
So I don't want to whitewash it in that. So let's just say the psychiatric ward.
But and you do have that from time to time. And certainly, you know, in the 80s and 90s, they closed a lot of psychiatric facilities, in both inpatient and trauma centers. I think there's a reluctance to do that. They need to go someplace. This is one of the only facilities left in the city that can handle them. And I think they are intent on turning it around.
Is all of this just about the psychiatric ward, the Justice Department report that got released yesterday, or is this hospital-wide? I'm actually not clear on that.
No, this is the psych ward.
This is just about the psych ward.
Right.
Okay. So what does happen next, real quick?
So they have this settlement, and they set some goals, and it's about outcomes. One has to imagine that it's one thing to say that you're going to institute policies X, Y, and Z, and it's another to say, well, how many assaults are there going to be? The HHC tells me assaults are already down. They haven't furnished those numbers yet. They might well, but you obviously have to see a remediation of violence and better management across the board.
WNYC's Fred Mogul, thanks a lot for reporting this story for us.
Thank you, Brian.
And if there's violence in a hospital, that may surprise you. Violence at Rikers Island may surprise you a little bit less, but coming up in a minute, we'll look at a lawsuit that alleges guards at Rikers were using inmates as enforcers to keep other inmates under control. Stay with us.